Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Brothers and sisters in Christ, Christmas is on the horizon, and people have lists of things they are asking for, but today is about what's been received. In the text, though, we see one who asks and one who receives. Millions of people today are traveling distances to be with their family and friends, and many other millions can't close that distance. Tomorrow, tables will be full, and food will smell good, and someone will ask you to recount the blessings of the past years. But as we gather in this holy place, Luke this evening draws our eyes to a different table and a different scene. He takes us from our feast and places us to a dusty road where 10 men stand at a distance. And these men, they are not counting their blessings. They are counting days. They are not surrounded by family. They are exiled from everyone. And these people are not preparing for a feast. They are waiting to die. So Luke tells us in the text that this is on the way to Jerusalem. Jesus, when he is on his way to Jerusalem, is not wandering through the countryside. He is not sightseeing between Galilee and Samaria. He is traveling toward the cross. He is moving toward the place where he will offer himself for the unclean. That means that every step of his journey is shaped by his coming sacrifice, and every act of mercy he gives is colored by the blood he is going to shed. And now we need to notice where he walks. Luke says he was passing between Samaria and Galilee, a borderland, a no man's land, between the place between places, a place that belongs to no one, a place where respectable people do not walk. This place is the residence of sin and uncleanness. This is where lepers live, and this is where Christ walks. So Luke then says, 10 lepers stood at a distance. They cannot come near, they cannot approach. Leprosy for them is not just an illness. It is isolation, exile. It is death in advance. A leper is cut off from the synagogue, cut off from family, cut off from communal life of God's with God's people. These people live outside the camp, outside the village. They are outside human reach. These people live at a distance. The distance between life and the shape of sin. For sin pushes you away. It pushes you away from God. It pushes you away from your neighbor. It pushes you into yourself, into your fear, and into your shame. But there they stand, 30 feet away, looking at the Lord who walks toward Jerusalem. And these people cry out. They say, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. We know these words because we know the Kyrie, the ancient prayer of the church, Kyrie eleison. They ask for mercy because mercy is all they can ask for. And here they don't want to negotiate. They don't want to bargain. They don't want to promise to do better for Jesus. They do not ask for healing or a better life or restoration. They simply cry for mercy. They do not know. They know that they can offer nothing. They know that they cannot fix themselves. They know that only Jesus can speak a word that would close the distance between them and God. So dear Christian friends, we know this distance because sin pushes us there. Spiritual leprosy isolates us. Shame isolates us. Hidden sin isolates us. Broken relationship isolates us. And our guilt build walls. And our fears, they build barriers. And the devil whispers in your ears, you cannot go near. Stay back. Keep your distance. So we stand far off. Even when we sit in these pews, we know the place of the lepers. We know that the lonely borderland between the life we wish we had and the life we actually carry within us because of our sin. So it is that our cry is the same. So we do not begin Thanksgiving Day with gratitude, I don't think, not really, but we begin it with lack. Because true thanksgiving does not rise out of full barns and full pantries, but they begin with empty hands. We begin where the 10 lepers begin. Lord, have mercy. Because mercy is what we need most in this life, mercy for our sin, mercy for our distance between us and God, and mercy for our griefs in our hearts, and most of all, mercy for our unbelief. The prayer that begins every divine service is the prayer of the 10 lepers who cannot come near. So we start in the back. We cannot come near unless Jesus speaks, and he wants to speak his absolution over us. So Thanksgiving Day shows us this distance. The world tells us to count our blessings. We've heard that. The scriptures teach us something more, though. The scriptures teach us to confess our need. We know that we should be thankful, but our hearts ache with the things that are missing in our lives. Some of us bring the grief of loved ones. Some of us bring the absence of someone at the table. Some brings a body that hurt. Some bring fears about money. Some bring anxiety about work and family. And some bring wounds that no one else can see. Thanksgiving does not begin with the food that fills our table. It begins with the emptiness that fills our heart. It does not begin with the blessings we list for Christmas, but the blessings and the mercy that we lack in this life, the mercy that we lack from God. So remember those 10 men standing at a distance, 30 feet away from Jesus, 30 feet away from hope, 30 feet away from life. And that distance shows us what our sin is. That distance is where we often live as sinners. So let their cry be our cry, and our prayer, their prayer, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Because only Jesus can close the distance. Only Jesus can walk into this borderland, this no man's land, and only Jesus carries his cross into where sinners are, where sinners can't go. He carries it far away. And then only Jesus can draw us near to those who cannot draw near to him. So let's go back to the text when Luke says, when he saw them, before they take a step, before these men cry again, before they make any promise, Jesus sees them at a distance. The mercy of God does not wait for them to come closer. It does not wait for them to clean up their skin and purify their hearts. His mercy comes before their efforts. So it is, everything begins with Jesus. He sees them before they do anything, and he sees them at a distance. He sees all their shame. He sees them standing. And that is the eye of the gospel. Listen to Jesus speak. Go, show yourselves to the priest. Jesus commands them to do what only cleansed men can do. And even though they are still covered with all their disease, still ravaged by death in their flesh, and they're still unclean, His word presumes what our eyes cannot see. Because the miracle of the Lord is hidden in the words, the word of Jesus that commands. So when Jesus commands, Jesus gives. When Jesus Christ speaks, He acts, and His word carry the cleansing before they even see it. And then the lepers obey, not because they feel healed. They walk to the priest as Jesus commanded them. They do that because Christ has spoken. Then Luke says again, and as they went, they were cleansed. Who cleansed them? God did. God acted upon them. The word filled the space between the promise and the sight that they see on their skin, and the word walked with them every step of the way. The word worked. They worked on them, and they did not know it. And they were healed, and they were cleansed. The death that clung on them, it fell away. And this beautiful is cleansing. I'm sure you've heard sermons about this, that these men are happy to go back to their families. But even though it is cleansed and it's beautiful, it is not salvation yet. The word healed their bodies, that's true. Their hearts are not there yet. The distance between God and them has been narrowed, but it hasn't been closed. And I think this is the tragedy of the nine. The nine who receive the gift, but they do not see the giver. They just go. They are healed. They do exactly what Jesus commanded, but they do not return. They take the gift in their hands and they move on with their lives. And that's good. They rejoice in their restored health, but they do not rejoice in the Lord who's given it to them. They receive the mercy they asked for, but they do not receive the one who came to give them more than the mercy. The Savior who has given Himself to die for them on the way to Jerusalem. So my point is, Christ gives more than what we see. He gives more than what we ask. So much of His mercy in this life, it goes unrecognized. Our daily bread, the roof above our heads, the protection that we never notice, all those are gifts. The air we breathe, that's a gift. The heartbeat we do not control, the unseen angels He commands to protect us, the word He speaks in absolution, those are gifts. But most importantly, the sacrament He places into our hands. These are miracles. But we often take them like the lepers. We take them with amazement, but we rarely return to Him. We ask for small mercies. We ask for relief from the trouble of today. But the Lord, our Jesus Christ, He intends to give us eternal life. We ask for healing, and we should ask as He wants us to pray, but He wants to give us resurrection from death and sin and the devil. We ask for strength to make it through the week, and then we often forget that He has given His very body and blood for us for the forgiveness of our sins, to be one with Him, to be at His feet. And then we ask for gifts. We ask for gifts when we tend to forget that He gives us hope, life, and salvation behind all those gifts, especially in this church. So I think the temptation of Thanksgiving Day is to thank God for things and forget that Christ gives them, the Lord of Providence. We We are satisfied with the cleansing, with the restored health, with the good food, with the financial stability, with family blessing, and we miss the one who speaks the word, who gives it all, who creates all. We know these 9 lepers, they had a healthier life, but they did not follow, they did not follow Jesus to Jerusalem where he is going. They received a gift and they walked away from salvation. I can imagine the 9 lepers walking down the road and they stare at their skin and they're marveled and amazed and they see the life that they will have now instead of death, and they see the color of their skin that was rot, that is restored, and they see wholeness instead of decay. But they never look back. They never look back at the face of the one who's given them this gift. They never look back at the voice of the person who healed them. They never return to the one who gave it all. And perhaps that's us tonight. Therefore, we repent and return. For we are forgiven here, and we are forgiven much. Luke now turns our eyes from the 9 to the 1. And he writes, but one of them. One man sees something more. One man sees not only that he's skin is healed, but he goes to the one who healed him, and Luke says he turned back. And when Luke uses that verb, the verb that's often used for conversion, it does not mean a change of direction, turning back. It means his heart changed. The thanksgiving in this man's heart begins with turning, and then it begins with returning. So he goes to see the one who gives. And this man, Luke says, he turned back, praising God with a loud voice. We saw the lepers begin with cries of pain. But this man, when he comes back with cries of praise. And this means mercy. And the mercy here leads to worship. The mercy, the healing received here means doxology. Praise God from all, from whom all blessings flow. His voice becomes strong because he's made new. He returns with joy because faith has opened his eyes. And then Luke says, takes to this beautiful moment when it says, he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. We see that distance is gone here. The exile is over. The unclean is now kneeling before the Holy One. And this man is not standing 30 feet away anymore. He's in the dust with the Lord. Because this is what mercy does. This is what repentance does. It brings us to the Lord on our feet, on our knees, on our face down. And Luke then adds this detail. Now this man was a Samaritan, which means he's the outsider of outsiders. The one who had no right to approach this Lord. The one the world expects the least to return to Jesus Christ. So Luke is showing us, as theologians call it, the great reversal. And those who think that they belong to Christ often miss Christ. Those who know they have nothing often receive everything from the Lord with his beatitudes. And the kingdom of God should always surprise us. So let us be surprised this morning because it is grace for the unworthy. Let us know that we are unworthy. We receive the mercy that the outsider received and the salvation of the one who cannot save himself. This is what Jesus do in Jerusalem, crucified for you for the forgiveness of your sin, for we cannot save ourselves. So now Jesus speaks again, but he is not speaking like he spoke before he commended. Now he questions, were not 10 cleansed? Yes, Lord, 10 were cleansed. Were not nine, weren't there nine? Yes, Lord, but they are gone. They have taken the gift and walked away. And then he asked again, was no one found to return to give praise to God except this foreigner? Where only one returns. The one with faith. Only one is drawn to the blessing. Not only the blessing, but also the blesser. So I pray this evening that this one is you. And then comes the final word, the greatest gift of all. Jesus says, arise, go your way, your faith has made you well. Your faith has made you well. And well here means your faith has saved you. So tonight, brothers and sisters, I see all nine in the pews. I see all of us becoming one. And I'm sure we were the nine. But I'm more sure that we are this one. We are one in Christ through a baptism for the forgiveness of sins. So thanks be to God that we ask for little, but he gives more. He gives us more than what we ask for. He gives us mercy. He gives us himself. And with thanksgiving, we return to him with prayer and praise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.